We are recording.
It is October 25th, 2018. This is the fourth quarter meeting for Clark County Animal Protection and Control Advisory Board. There will be no minutes to approve because the last meeting was audio recorded, so we will start this meeting off with introductions. I'm Kat Vitches, Chair, and I represent cats.
I'm Regan Thomason. I represent dogs.
Lynn Parker, Member at Large.
Bobby Olson, don't own either a cat or a dog.
Stephanie Hope, Livestock. Holly Blasser, Rescue, other related organizations. I can't remember the name.
Ariel Young, animals other than dogs or cats.
I'm Lisa Fader with the Humane Society.
And I'm Susan Anderson, Manager of Animal Protection and Control for Clark County.
We have no public, so nothing from them. So first up is the vacancies for members on our board. Do you want to cover that?
Certainly. I emailed out the packet for this meeting, and I apologize, it was kind of late. Both myself and my office assistant are very new and weren't quite aware of the procedure for putting all this together, so it will be sent out in a more timely manner next time around. Included in that packet were the application materials that we received from the applicants. There were five applicants for the at-large vacancy and one applicant for the veterinarian in Clark County vacancy. And my suggestion was that everyone on the board reviews those materials, and when you decide which of those folks you would like to interview, then I'm interested in finding dates that work for as many people as we can to be able to schedule some interviews of those candidates.
Would you like all the board members to review them and then list their names and, you know, their first, second, third, fourth, fifth choice, you know, and then send those back to you? Then you can coordinate those and see who are the top ones to interview?
We can do that, sure. If there were two candidates for the at-large I noticed that did not submit resumes with their application. I saw in the application that it noted a resume was to be submitted, so I don't know if that would automatically rule them out as candidates or not, or if we're still willing to consider them even without the resume submittal. It wasn't clear in the policy.
Okay. I don't, because the application is different this time than before, because it's asking questions that some of them were interview questions before, so I think the whole process has been changed a little bit.
These were always on the, a lot of these, I remember seeing these on the applications.
They were?
Yeah.
Yeah, but some of them we were asking.
But we were asking, I think we just repeated it. Okay. I think we actually asked it on the
And I think most people have in the past submitted a resume.
Okay. And I was keying in at the bottom of the application. It says applications along with your resume will be evaluated.
Okay.
So
if they didn't.
It doesn't say that you won't be considered if you don't submit a resume. So I'd say it's up to us if we want to just reject them outright without reviewing them, or if we want to go ahead and review the two that came in without resumes along with the other four.
We only got one applicant for the vet.
Right.
So can we just move on with that one?
Well, that was, what is everybody want? Well, yeah, we still need to go through that process, but do we want to put it out there again to see if we can get any more applicants?
Didn't they already extend it?
They did.
They did extend it once. So should we just be happy with one that we got?
Yeah.
I will personally say I love her. So.
Okay.
I personally do too.
Okay. Yeah, I do too. Okay. If she has support.
I was wondering if you would know her.
Yes.
Okay.
I do too.
Okay. Well, then she's not somebody that's unfamiliar to people. I don't personally know her, but if other people know her, then.
Yeah, I would 100%.
Okay. So it seems like we should still have her go through the formal interview as well.
Yeah.
And will we be doing it the same way with everyone that
questions and just going around.
Yeah.
Some of those questions.
We need to make it.
Well, you've gone through it recently. I mean, some of the questions weren't real helpful. I didn't.
Well, I remember I had to have clarification.
Yeah. No, I think we need to change our questions.
Yeah, I do too.
I think everybody probably agrees on that.
Yes.
The questions need to be updated.
Definitely.
And changed. So.
Yeah.
Maybe, I'm just thinking out loud, maybe everybody could write several suggestions of questions and email them all to Susan.
If Susan could send us out the current question.
That'd be very helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have them? Yeah, well, we have them, but she should have them too.
I think I do.
Yeah, and then if everybody sends you some suggestions for new questions, between everybody, you should have more than enough questions to do a new panel question piece.
Sounds good.
As for your question about whether or not we reject people if they didn't have a resume, it doesn't seem like the wording expressly says it's required.
Yeah.
I mean, it says your applications along with your resume.
Yes. Please return this application with your resume,
optional
too.
Optional in a sense.
It's a suggestion.
We would review both.
Right.
So it doesn't seem set in stone enough to be able to reject someone off the bat without a resume.
I would agree with that.
I think we just evaluate.
I mean, maybe if they didn't turn in a resume, maybe they'll be at the bottom of the list anyhow. But maybe they'll be at the top of the list, depending on what they submitted.
What they have to say.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
So,
I think in the past we've emailed back and said this is my one, this is my two, this
right.
is my three, and from that you can kind of glean who are the people that are. So we're not emailing everyone and sort of violating them.
Right. Everybody's just emailing
you.
Okay.
Specifically, and then you can sort of see who's.
Yeah, we put them in our order, and then you do the little chart thing that says this many got a number one, and that kind of thing.
Okay.
And then once you have all that done, then you suggested, I believe, a Tuesday was a good day for you.
That would be a good day for me. I was just throwing it out there.
So if
I'm open to other suggestions also.
I don't know. I mean,
for me, it just depends on the day.
Depends on the day.
Yeah.
Well, we'll just do one thing at a time.
Yeah.
We'll get that done and then send us days that you're available.
Yeah.
And then we'll see, because if one person or maybe even two are missing, it's okay.
Sure.
We don't have to have everybody, but it would be nice to have everybody.
Yes.
Have you ever done a doodle poll? You guys know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's a, have you used doodle polls?
I don't think so.
So it's you go to doodle.com and you say, okay, my meeting dates are Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, blah, blah, blah. And then you add all of your email recipients, and then everybody goes on there and they say, I'm available, click on Tuesday at 1 o'clock, I'm available Thursday at 2 o'clock, I'm not available on these other times, and I might be available on these times. And then it kind of collates everything and says, okay, 5 out of 8 people are available Tuesday at 1 o'clock, and then everybody's available Wednesday at 2 o'clock.
Okay.
Just
automatically.
Doodle.com.
Okay.
Really
easy.
Mm-hmm.
Use
it all.
Yeah,
the time.
I've used that before
for
other things.
Thank you.
Beck, can I ask a question? Is the veterinarian included in the top three that we send to her?
No, that's a separate.
Okay, thank you.
These are just the four at-large positions.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, the at-large is, that's one group of people.
Yeah.
And then the veterinarian is by herself, but I think you were outside where we all decided that you've already extended it once, and that's the only one we got, and several people are familiar with her, so we're just going to interview one person.
Okay. Sounds good.
She seems to come recommended.
Plus she applied.
Yeah. That was a big voting point right there. Okay, does that cover all of that?
I'm clear on it, so thank you.
Okay, so next we have election of officers, which is the board and, or the chair and the co-chair for our board. And How do you want to do that? You want to just want everybody to mark the boxes, and you want to just collect them and
yes,
right now and.
Don't we usually let people indicate if they have interest in this? For example,
do you want to say if someone doesn't have interest?
For example, I'm caring for my elderly parents right now, and I can't take on any additional responsibilities, so I would not. I'm happy to help. But
so don't vote for Stephanie.
Don't vote for me either. I feel like I haven't been here long enough to really do what you do so well.
And don't vote for me.
Okay.
Well, the council just nominated people.
We did.
Yeah. Can you just do that?
She wants to do this. I think you're trying. I think the point is you need a paper trail.
I do. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, can we just cross off the names that are?
Well, you just don't vote for them. But
however your brain works, that just crossed them off.
I mean, yeah. Okay. It doesn't.
And I have to miss the next board meeting, so I don't know how important that is to everybody.
I don't, you know, as long as you're not missing all of them, I
know,
you know,
just that
that's,
one.
That's acceptable.
Just the January.
I have
to receive my phone.
So is the assumption then that everybody that who recused themselves is interested?
That I would assume would be the assumption.
Okay. So Stephanie opted out, Bobby opted out, and Megan opted out. And anybody else who wants to opt out?
We know about Anne.
She's on vacation or something.
So we assume she'd be for it?
Well, she's pretty new, so I don't think so.
Okay.
She just started. Okay. She's been here less than a year. So,
Stephanie and Reagan.
Well, she came after you did.
Right.
So she hasn't been on the board very long at all.
Right. And then maybe you want
to. Yeah, I think she's only been to two meetings.
Can I have asked this? Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Everyone down here got their pass down?
Yes.
We should give them a minute to count that before we make you talk again. Seven, that's right. I'm just thinking eight. That's the one that's been Anne's missing. Sorry. I can't count.
It's late in the day. Firing on all cylinders, sir.
I thought she might have emailed her back to Susan, but I guess not.
So, in 2 days, or 3 days? But I mean, how many days is it going to take you?
Oh, two, three.
Yeah.
It's a long way.
Now, we drove my parents' car down once. And we couldn't leave until late in the afternoon. So, we stayed 2 nights.
I hope to get to Twin Falls by the first day, but I think that means I mean,
we
went.
There should be people
there. We can show them. And we really can't go that way.
I thought there might be
some
really
to Southern California.
Yeah.
To see
what was, you know, what
we went
on.
To,
they're not upset about anything.
That's a good problem. The problem
this way. Do we have a winner?
Yeah.
We do. Okay, so your chair is Pat and your vice chair is Lynn.
Okay.
Oh, okay. No, I'm still official, so I can continue on.
you were good through the end of the year anyway.
Oh, okay. All right. Or at least through the end of this meeting.
At least through the end of the year. Exactly.
Well, are you ready to talk to us about the county resource updates?
Yes, I am. And it will kind of curtail into the...
after-hour service provider.
Sure.
They're both there. So.
So we, of course, have been short-staffed since June. We are still short one FTE. So we currently have 4 animal control officers and 2 office assistants, one responsible for dispatching, the other responsible for licensing and other administrative duties. We have a really good team put together, and we are in the midst of putting together a pool for the remaining vacancy and also anticipating, i.e. keeping our fingers crossed, that a proposal from the City of Vancouver is going to come through where their Parks and Recreation Department has suggested that they fund an additional full-time officer to kind of focus on the dog parks. It is not a sure thing at this time, and the ball is in the city's court as far as supplying us with their proposal in writing, but we did meet with their department director in parks, and she basically said that they have had so many citizens come forward with concerns about the safety in the parks that they are interested in better patrolling them, providing more public outreach, and just making them more pleasant, safer places to spend time with your dog and your family. So that's a very exciting thought, and goodwill flowing that actually happens. So in the meantime, we are putting a pool together of eligible candidates. Pat was gracious enough to sit in on the interview panel for those officer positions, and we found 3 candidates that we thought would be excellent. 2 have quite a bit of previous animal control officer experience in other states, and the other person is very, very sharp and is in public safety currently, and also has hobby, animal experience as well. So we are moving them forward to have their background checks done through the Clark County Sheriff's Office. I've also invited them all to do ride-alongs with our more senior officers just to see how we operate, and for the person that's never done animal control specifically before, just to give her a firsthand view of kind of what the job is like and give our team members an opportunity to meet the candidates and provide some input to me as the process goes forward. And then that 6th FTE that we hope to have funded by the City of Vancouver, we'd most likely be looking at sometime in the first half of next year for having that all in place and ready to fill with one of these folks from the pool. Other than that, I'm having to figure out what we're going to do for a training academy. Not all of our folks have been through a required law enforcement and animal control officer training academy, so I'm researching the best option for that, whether it's just to wait until next year and send them up north to the established state academy. We're looking at possibly hosting an academy down here locally and inviting people from outside of Clark County, outside of Clark County to participate, so that we have enough people to make that work. That's another possibility. So lots of big things happening, and just trying to get up to full power and be able to provide the service that the citizens deserve.
Is there any long range plan or hope to have a 6th animal control officer in the field?
Well, that
not the dog park one.
No, not the dog park one.
Just a regular.
There has not been any serious discussion about that at this point. No, my plan is to kind of establish and actually more level out things with what we have, and then hopefully in the future get to a point where there's enough support higher up that we can float some other proposals for adding additional staff.
Okay, and you can morph that into the after hour.
So all we have to say on that is we have an existing contract in place with Larry McClintock and Critter Getter, of course. I have learned that we have two, possibly three, organizations that are interested in that contract. And the way the code is written, that when you have multiple parties that are interested, that kind of opens it up and we're able to put it out for bid again. And so that's another one of the things on my list, is looking at that contract and probably making changes to it, expanding it a little bit.
The services that they do?
Yes.
What's the length of the contract now?
It's 12 months.
So every 12 months it just renews and Critter Care is getting it again.
Right, and that's been, my understanding is because in the past there just has not been much of a level of interest from the community.
Yeah, they don't.
Or, you know, they're not capable of doing everything we ask.
There was an RFP a few years ago, I want to say 5 years ago-ish, something like that, Holly, that went out, and there was only one applicant, and it was Larry. So there really has not been anyone who had interest in the after-hours contract for a long time.
And so that's changed now, and so I need to get, one of the things I need to get to work on is looking at that contract and going over it with my manager and seeing how we might want to change that and add some additional services there.
Okay, and then once you rewrite it, then it'll just go out, or be an RFP that'll go out then?
Mm-hmm. Yes, so I need to get on it because we're running out of time this year.
Is it January to January?
Yes.
Okay. Anything else?
Not on that, no.
Well, then Lisa's up.
Oh, all right. So lots of things going on at the Humane Society these days. So we're really, really busy. Did everybody see the article in the Columbian?
Yes, that was exciting.
So, I know, right? Really exciting thing.
No,
so
I didn't.
So we're working on several different initiatives that involve future expansion, and part of it includes restructuring our current space in our education room to expand our veterinary clinic to be able to provide public veterinary services, as well as opening a behavior and training center and expanding our services essentially aimed at keeping pets in homes as opposed to having them come to the shelter.
Great.
So we've been working on this actually for a couple of years now.
I think you mentioned something.
I've talked about this sort of in bits and pieces over the last couple of years, and things are just kind of coming, you know, to a head, and we're finally starting to talk publicly about what we've been working on. And the other part of this is that we've developed a network with West Columbia Gorge Humane Society and Cowlitz Humane Society, so that we can begin to work a little bit closer together on some shared initiatives, and also be able to offer sort of a shared services model for some things like veterinary services. So we have our veterinary clinic, and the other two shelters really don't have the type of veterinary care that we can provide, and they don't have the facility, they don't have the the personnel, and so we are offering services to West Columbia Gorge at cost. So they pay us to provide spay and neuter services to their animals. And we are developing some protocols for helping them with like bookkeeping and accounting and things like that. So, you know, we have the infrastructure, we have the expertise, and the other shelters just have never really been large enough to be able to have those types of services. And so when they try and do it themselves, it's much more expensive. Whereas, you know, we can do it cheaper, even if we have to, you know, add a part-time person, but because we have all the infrastructure in place, it's much cheaper for us to do it that way. So so we're working with those two shelters, and that's been going really, really well. So so we're kind of off and running on our capital campaign. We're going to end up having to raise close to $10 million to do the renovations on the shelter. But that will also include a couple of million-dollar endowment fund to help offset the cost of providing veterinary care to low-income pet owners. And so so that whatever services that we provide can be affordable to people who might not be able to take their animal to a veterinarian. On top of that, we have been working really hard to change the state law, which I know I've talked about over the course of the last couple of years, that currently restricts humane societies from being able to provide veterinary care to owned animals. And so we're really happy to say that we have finally come to an agreement with the Washington State Veterinary Medical Association, and we have a legislation that will be introduced in January that should pass uncontested. We don't anticipate any problems with it, so that by probably mid-next year, it will be legal to provide veterinary services to people who qualify as low income in Washington State. So that's really exciting news for us. And so it's just been a really busy time. On top of that, adoptions are just through the roof. Everybody is coming to us to adopt animals, and they're coming in and they're going out. And we took a number of cats from some of the hurricane relief efforts in Florida. We've been working closely with Cowlitz to take, you know, some of their overflow because they get really busy during the summer, as, you know, a lot of shelters do. And so our transport numbers have just been steadily rising, and adoptions as a result. So that, I think, is all I remember. My brain sometimes only has so much capacity.
That's an exciting update.
I know. I know. It is exciting.
So what would be the proposed time for this doll to happen with it? Because it's a lot of money to raise.
Yes, it is. So, well, we already have $3 million. So we have a lead gift already pledged of $3 million. And we're expecting to sort of kick off the public campaign probably in January, February, maybe. And we expect that we'll take about a year to raise the money. We've already started discussions with an architect and started that process because that takes a long time.
Yeah.
And because right now just getting a contractor is scheduled 2 years out. So so assuming that we raise the money in 2019, we're hoping to be on schedule to break ground on the renovations in mid-2020, and potentially opening up public services by early 2021.
So that's really not very far away.
It is not very far away, and it will be here before we blink our eyes.
So that will go by very quickly.
It will. It will.
That even makes it even more exciting.
I know. We have a regular weekly meeting with the architect now, and he brought sort of the first round of like plans, and I'm like, oh my god, this is actually like laid out nicely, and then it's actually happening. You know, it's very real when it's on the front page of the Columbia, and then you have no choice but to actually, you know, do it. So it's really fun. It's a fun, exciting time. It's just also very it's just really, really busy right now. So
Thanks for the update.
You're welcome.
Do you have stats, Susan?
Unfortunately, no.
Okay.
I apologize.
I do have stats. Okay.
You know I always have stats. So, and I didn't make copies.
It's okay. You can just tell them.
Sorry. So, year-to-date intake, total intake, or live intake, if you will, is pretty steady. It's about 5,334 animals, which is essentially what it was last year. The decrease, though, there has been a slight decrease in stray dogs of about 5%, but there has also been an increase in stray cats this year, which is kind of interesting. So first time that that's happened in a very long time. Although when you look at it, you know, over the scope of things, it's really only a 7% increase. So it's about 100 more cats this year, year-to-date, than it was last year. adoptions are actually up about 3%. Interestingly, our adult cat adoptions are up significantly. We have adopted 184 more adult cats this year than we did last year. I know. We've adopted 102 more puppies this year than last year, and 28 more kittens. But our adult dog adoptions are down by 169 dogs, which is purely a direct result of transport and not bringing in as many dogs as we have last year. It's the numbers are about the same, so we didn't bring in almost 170 dogs, and we didn't adopt almost 170 dogs. But overall, our adoption numbers are up by 144 animals, so we're at 4,052 animals this year, which is only 948 away from our goal. Mary, our adoption supervisor, sent me a note today that said, we adopted 46 kittens last weekend.
Wow.
Yeah. So we have also, interestingly, adopted as many rabbits this year as we did last year. And considering the fact that we took in a hoarding case of 109 rabbits last year, that's kind of an interesting dynamic. So overall, we've adopted 212 more cats and 67 fewer dogs than last year.
Where did you get the rabbits?
I'm sorry?
Last year it was hoarding that you got the rabbits. Where did they come from this year?
The public?
They just bring them in?
I honestly think that people didn't realize up until last year that we took rabbits. And now that, you know, we are splashed all over the newspaper.
So now they bring another one.
And now they bring them to us. And
that's the next door.
Yeah.
Actually,
yes.
Had a couple rabbits.
Yeah.
And I said, well, this rabbit seems so docile, it must be someone's pet.
Yeah.
Where do I take it? They think it means the same.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
People are hearing it, and now they're knowing.
Yeah.
Bring that rabbit.
Absolutely.
That they found that very sweet.
And it's actually gotten to the point where we're having to do, as part of the renovations we're doing, we're including a small mammal room, which, interestingly enough, was part of the original plan, but we didn't ever take in enough animals to justify having a room in and of itself. So now we're going back to that small mammal room. So
will your small mammal room be able to accommodate like personally, after my heart, rat, or any pet, getting paid, will it be able to accommodate other?
Short answer, yes. We do get them on occasion because and everything kind of comes in. We get rabbits and reptiles and snakes and spiders and all kinds of other things. Yeah. I just don't know whether we're going to get to a point where we have an adoption program for like guinea pigs and rats. I mean, we do it on occasion. But because we get so few in, we usually will know somebody who's like, call me when you get a guinea pig, or, you know, and we do it that way, or we send them to a rescue group or to Oregon Humane Society has such a great small mammal adoption program that we usually kind of funnel most of our guinea pigs and rats and things. But we do actually do some adoptions of them, just not a lot. I expect once we start kind of doing more rabbits, the rest will probably fall into line.
If you build it,
exactly. That's very apt. So the other interesting statistic is that redemptions are up by 3%. That's return to owner with dogs especially. We've returned 599 dogs to their owners this year. And our live release rate is holding steady at 93.5%, which is up from 92% last year. And the primary reason for that is our return to field program, which we had sort of half implemented last year, but now have sort of a full year of implementation. And year to date, we've returned 99 cats in both the city and the county jurisdiction. So that is the primary difference in our live release rate for from this year to last year. And in fact, the dog live release rate is at 96%, which was the same as last year, but cats went from 88% to 90.5%. So that was the big increase there. And then our spay-neuter surgery, we're still doing actually just a tad less public cat surgeries, but we've done 722 public cat surgeries this year, which is essentially the same as last year. But overall, because such a higher percentage of dogs that are coming in on transports are unaltered, we're actually staying and neutering far more dogs than we have ever done in the past. So it used to be that most of the dogs that came in on transport were already altered. Now it's about 70% of the dogs come in unaltered. So
that's depending on where they're coming from, correct?
Yes.
Is there a difference in the animals that are adopted between the transport animals and the ones that are coming locally? I mean, are people going for the transport animals first, or is there any difference?
No, I don't know that there's necessarily a relation, unless we have like a high-profile transport, like with, you know, a hurricane relief or something along those lines. And with dogs especially, it's more people are looking for that type of dog, and it just happens to have come in on a transport.
Okay.
Because I don't think they necessarily know right off the bat that, you know, how it came in. It's hard to say.
Okay. So unless it's a high-profile thing.
Right.
Like number of years back when you have the one from the hoarding case in Eastern Washington with all the,
right,
the little white dog. No, the little white dogs.
Oh, yes, the little white dog.
Yes, little white dogs. I mean, yeah. People were lining up.
Absolutely.
To get those kind of dogs.
Yeah. Yeah, and then when we had the South Korea dogs a few years ago that we took from the meat farm shut down, and we've done a couple of hoarding cases that we've kind of done profiles on. So, yeah, we often get a lot of people interested in that type of thing. So, that's it.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Old business. Do we have any old business? Anybody have any old business that they want to discuss?
So I have an old business question I want to ask
again
on behalf of livestock. So the pool of officers that left, some of those had been trained partly by funding through the Clark County Executive Horse Council. Do the current officers that have been hired have livestock experience? And if not, is there any plan to train them?
I don't know if they have training to the extent that program provided training. My understanding through the interview process with them is that they do have livestock experience as far as on-the-job experience.
So is there any plan to send them for further training or not at this time?
We're just not to the point where we're planning for that.
we're just not quite
there. I have to ask.
Yeah. All right. We don't even know who we're hiring for sure, for example. So we definitely understand the need in the community for that. So I would anticipate that, yes, we will have officers that are specially trained. We still have one that went through that wonderful program, and I would certainly intend to have at least one more person that has a special interest in horses and or other livestock that would be trained up to the level that they need to be trained to. That is certainly my intention.
Thank you.
Sure.
I have a question kind of from last time as well, but I know previously, sort of in the spring and before, we were looking at expanding our services to other neighboring areas. And things, you know, our whole department kind of took a change. I'm curious, I understand you're, you know, understaffed and we're trying to get fully staffed, and so we're paring down to taking care of what we can. What kind of services are we providing to the city and the county, and to the, what does that look like for our neighboring communities? What does that expansion look like? Where are we at on your timeline? I'm just kind of curious what those expansions that we were spending a lot of time thinking and talking about, where are they at?
To clarify, are you talking about having contracts in place with the small cities?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Battleground, right. And other areas.
Okay.
Is what we're looking at.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so even the Cowlitz tribe. And
I know they were looking at, we were looking at expansion and sort of selling our services. We have to take care of our stuff first. But
sure.
Where is that at?
So when I started, and Bob Berquist, the interim manager, was kind of transferring different files and things to me, he did mention the discussions about the small city contracting, and what I was told is that one of the jurisdictions, and I'm not sure which one it was a holdout. And the way he described it is that made everything just fall apart. And I don't really have any other details on that, but I can try to find out more if you'd like and send that out to you. Okay.
Okay.
I guess that was just kind of a generalization about what had happened. So he said, well, this had to do with this, but there was a holdout, so it's not going to come to fruition. And so I kind of split that to the side while I was attacking all this other stuff.
That's fine.
Okay.
I was simply curious.
But
we're
talking about the Cowlitz tribe, and that it's not going to impact very many people here, but we did meet with... That's not good.
I know. We were hearing the beep, beep, beep.
Yeah.
Before that. But did you hear it?
I wonder if somebody... activated the alarm.
Oh, good. Be back.
I know, right?
I think I'm ready to go
off
the
case.
I heard all. They gave me the code, but it was unlocked when I got here. So that was odd. So we are in discussions with the Cowlitz tribe to provide services to the ALNA property. I think their urgent time has passed because most of their concerns had to do with dogs in hot cars or aggressive dogs that were in vehicles in the parking lot. So we will be in discussions with them, continuing just trying to finalize a contract for those services. It sounds like it's going to be similar to what we have with maybe the town of Yakholtz or some of those other kind of smaller entities. We haven't figured out what the fee schedule is going to look like, but it's probably going to be on a per call basis because it sounds like they're not anticipating more than 15 calls a year, so it's pretty small. But
so they were just mainly concerned about the parking lot and people leaving animals in their cars. That was really, it wasn't...
Right, and they have tribal police that work on the property.
Right, so it wasn't the property, it was just the parking lot, really.
More so, but I mean, they're going to continue to expand, so they're going to be building a hotel.
Well, that's true.
Who knows? I'm not sure what all else. So there's going to be expansion of amenities there, so potentially more and more people.
people are going to be stopping there. I would think it's mostly travelers that would stop and leave their dogs in their cars. I don't know how many locals would do that. Hard to say, but I think they ran into some situations where they encountered dogs in vehicles that were more than their officers felt comfortable trying to liberate. They were snarling and that kind of thing.
Not happy to be there.
Not happy. I wouldn't be happy stuck in a car either.
No. Well, I someone could go into the casino saying, I'm just going to go in for a minute.
Right. And then
soon,
5 hours later.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And if they do, when they do expand to do hotel, you know, people are bringing their animals there. If they get left at a hotel and or causing problems with, you know, other people.
That's
so
true. That to me, that possibly didn't come up.
Yeah, because we do get that actually not infrequently where officers have to go pick up a dog that was left at a hotel or something. So.
Yeah, I suggest that they build a doggy hotel and a doggy daycare.
There you go.
Does anybody else have any old business questions or anything they want to bring up on old business? No? Round table. Anything, Holly? Nothing going on in Second Chance?
It's like kitten season won't end.
It won't. It had a really a lull and then a resurgence.
Yeah, just doing our stuff.
7 horses in foster care.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh,
that's down, so that's great.
Nothing?
Okay.
I talked a lot.
I guess we are roundtabled out. So I guess that means that unless anyone has anything else to add, we can adjourn the meeting. Our next meeting will be January 24th, 2019.
Wow,
that sounds like.
See, 2021 is going to be.
It's not very far away.
Thanks again, everyone. I appreciate your time tonight.
Thank you.